Hello, hello, hello. First off, thank you for wanting to listen to me talk. If you're here, it's probably because you know me. And if you don't know me, my name is Hannah Elizabeth. And recently, a few weeks ago, I did my first sermon, and we had actually recorded it, but the audio kind of got a little messed up with that environment, so I am here re-recording this. This will be my first episode on my own podcast, the Moxie Motive podcast. So stay tuned for that. And this will also possibly be airing on the Esther Company podcast. So for those of you who know me personally, you know that I've been doing an mentorship with Miss Sharla Aparna, and she is an amazing mentor. And when I first signed up for the Esther Company, I had no idea that she'd be making me do the sermon that I did a few weeks ago. But like any good mentor, she's forced me to be a little bit out of my comfort zone, dip my toes a little bit into the water. And so here we are. I talk to myself all the time, and yet sitting here in front of my computer talking into a mic feels a little strange to me. You and I are going to be on a journey. But thank you for wanting to support me, not only in my future career, but in this podcast. And I just really appreciate that. I've just been sitting here and kind of prepping everything. I've had my worship music on in the background. I've just been in the spirit, spending time with him. And I really just hope that whoever you are, whether you are a friend of mine, a coworker, family member, or if someone sent this to you because they thought it would mean something to you, I just want to thank you. Thank you for being here, and thank you for supporting me, and thank you for listening. So I'm just going to open up in prayer because that's what I feel the most comfortable doing. So, yeah, let's just start there. Father God, I just thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you've anointed me, that you've called me to a purpose, God. Thank you that as nervous and as scared as I am, Jesus, that you're walking through these waters with me. Lord God, I just anoint every person that's listening to this message. Lord Jesus, I thank you that they're going to get something from it, Lord God, that they will get some knowledge from whatever I'm sharing tonight, Jesus. Thank you that everyone listening to this is listening to it on purpose, that you knew that they were going to be here in this exact moment, rather it's morning or evening, wherever they are in their car or at home. Lord God, I thank you that you knew that this was going to bless them today. So I just pray that you open their heart and you soften their heart, Lord Jesus, that they can receive something from this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, so if you know you're here, you've already made it this far, this is my sermon. And the title of my sermon for you note takers is The Impractical God. When Charlotte first told me that she wanted me to do a sermon, I thought maybe, I'd be talking about my testimony, something light. But as I started praying about it and asking God what to speak about, he actually told me to speak on boundaries. And so I was like, oh, okay, God. So, what are we talking about? Are we going to talk about the commandments? Get into that. And it was actually totally shifted when I started asking God, what to speak about in terms of boundaries. He said that he is a boundaryless God, and we as his children have been putting boundaries on him. And y'all, that just hit me. Because really, it's so true. God does not fit into our comfort box. He is a God who works outside of our timeline and our understanding. And to us, that's just wild. I know for me, especially, I like to have control of a lot of things. And if I don't have control, I get anxiety. And obviously, I can't control God. He is God for a reason. He is perfect. He is wonderful. He is good. And I really have just had to renew my mindset in trusting him and believing in everything that he's doing in my life, even if I don't understand it, even if it's not in my timeline. I love to write out 5, 10-year plans, and then God laughs in my face at my plan. But I really just had to work through that and just listen to trust him in that. And so as I was preparing this message, that was the main thing, is Do we as children of God, do we as Christians trust him? Do we truly trust his plans for us? Even though that we can't understand it, even though it doesn't make sense in our timeline or in our understanding, logically, we just don't get it. But do we still trust him through that? It's kind of funny. I actually got the vision, or not the vision, I thought of in my mind, that little scene from Aladdin where he's putting his hand down towards Jasmine as he's on the magic carpet saying, "Do you trust me?" And I just feel like that's where God is right here in this moment, like looking down to us as a good father, looking down to his children saying, "Child, do you trust me?" But if we were to be honest, I know for me, a lot of the times that answer is no. A lot of times I don't trust him. And I hate to say that because I love God. I'm so grateful for the sacrifice Jesus made to die on the cross for my sins. So grateful for that. And I read the Bible and I see all these amazing things that he does. And I see all these amazing things he does in other people's life. And yet I feel like he's not going to do the same for me. And so I really had to get down deep with God for this. And it was like, do I actually trust you? Do I actually trust in where you're leading me in life and what you're doing? I have a calling. I have an anointing. I know where my purpose is. I know what I'm meant to do. And it's scary. It is so scary because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know where I'm going to be in 5 years. And for me, I've really just had to work on letting that go and truly trusting him, right? So I wanted, of course, to hop into the Bible. So we're going to look at a lot of different parts in the Bible. But I really just wanted to focus a lot in Exodus. Exodus is one of my favorite books. And if you have not done a deep dive study of Exodus, man, you better get to doing that because it is just so good. We are first introduced to Moses in Exodus 3:2. That's not when we're first introduced to Moses. Sorry, we're first introduced to Moses finding God in Exodus 3:2 at the burning bush. And Exodus 3:2 says, "There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up." So let me just make a point there really quickly. Normally, when you see something on fire, it's burning up. So the fact that God is right then and there meeting Moses and meeting him in a miracle is just amazing. And that's another thing. God works outside of our understanding. In this moment, I'm assuming Moses was probably a little freaked out because he was like, "Why is this not burning?" And then, you know, God starts talking to him through the burning bush. He's probably even a little bit more freaked out. But basically, when he's having this encounter with God, God tells him that he's seen his people in Egypt, the Israelites, that have been kept in slavery for years. And he's telling Moses that he sees them and that he hears them and that he wants to save them from Egypt. So this is Exodus 3:7-8. "Then the Lord told him, 'I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. The land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live.'" I probably messed a few of those names up, so just bear with me. But I just found that so beautiful because I think a lot of times we're like, "God, do you hear me? Do you even see me? Do you even know what I'm going through, God? Like, why are you so silent? God, where are you?" And right here in Exodus, he tells us that he hears us. He hears our cries. He hears our pleas. He knows where we are. And he cares for us. And so he told Moses, I am making a way for my people to get out of Egypt. I'm making a way. And so we hop over to Exodus 14. And by this time, all the plagues have passed. They're actually out of Egypt. They are leaving Egypt now. And this is where we see the parting of the Red Sea. And yet again, another miracle that I can't even comprehend this miracle, guys. Like, to see the Red Sea parting and just split down the middle. Like, can you imagine? Like, I'm just thinking of it. If you've seen the movie The Prince of Egypt, like, that's what I'm thinking of, okay? And if you have not seen that movie, please go watch it. It's, the animation's beautiful, music, beautiful. Anyways, I'm just imagining that where, like, it just, you see the sand at the bottom of the sea, and there's fishes on all sides of you. Like, it's just so crazy. I can't even imagine what the Israelites are thinking in this moment. My jaw would drop. Like, for real, would drop. I would be so shocked. And if your jaw has not dropped while you've been reading the Bible, child, get into your Bible more, because it is wild. I am telling you, it's crazy, some of these stories. So basically, Exodus 14, 21, 22. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. And then following that, once they get through the Red Sea, Pharaoh has sent his army after them because he wants them back all of a sudden. And just read that for yourself, that they make it through, the Israelites get away, they make it through the sea. And then following Exodus 14 and Exodus 15, we have a freedom song and a praise song for the Lord. Exodus 15:2, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. And I just find that so beautiful, because God has just saved them from Egypt, saved them from Pharaoh, delivered them into freedom. They just saw an absolute mind-blowing miracle, and they're praising him, and they see him for his goodness, and they see the wonders that he just did for him, for them. But then, guys, literally the next chapter, I'm not even kidding you, in Exodus 16, they are already complaining. Like, I read this and I'm like, what the heck is wrong with you? Like, he literally just parted the sea. He just saved you from slavery. He just did so many miracles. It's literally crazy. Can you not see that he cares about you? But they're already complaining, because at this point, they are in the desert, and they say, if only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted, but now you have brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death. And I just read that, and I'm just in awe that they just saw this huge miracle. They just went through everything that they went to, and they think God is just going to leave them in the desert and let them starve to death. And I've been there too, where God has done so many amazing things in my life. He has saved me from so much. I can't even comprehend it sometimes. And yet I still complain. There are moments where I'm still like the Israelites. I look back, I look at my past, I see what he saved me from. And yet when I'm here in the moment and I don't have what I feel that I need or what I feel that I want in that moment from God, I start complaining despite all the miracles he's done in my past. And it's just funny to me how quick we are to lose our trust in him. And that makes me want to hop over to Matthew 6. Because in Matthew 6, he reminds us that he cares for us. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? And then hopping down a few to Matthew 6:30. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Y'all, that just gets me. That gets me every time. Because it's so true. He cares so much about us. And he takes care of everything. Like, why would... We're his child. I'm not a parent. But I know that when I have a child, I'm going to give them my all. I'm going to love them. I'm going to protect them. I see my friends who are parents, and they do everything possible to protect their child. And so for a while, this was really hard for me to understand because God is a father, right? But I didn't have a relationship with my father. And so I didn't always quite understand because I was like, my father's not there for me. My father's distant. So how can this God be there for me? Because I was trying to compare the Heavenly Father to my biological father. But the Heavenly Father is so, so much greater, so much better. He cares so much for us. Throughout the Bible, he ensures us that he cares for us. He sees us. He loves us. He rejoices with us. He cries with us. You know, he continues to remind us of his promises throughout the whole scripture. And in Psalms 145:13, he says, "For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule throughout all generations. The Lord always keeps his promises. He is gracious in all he does." And this verse I've had to keep really close to my heart because he is good in all that he does, and he is gracious, and he does keep his promises. But as humans, we're so used to being let down by all the people around us that we try to put that blame on God sometimes. Like, God, why did you let this person into my life if you just knew all they were going to do was hurt me? God, I've been praying for financial peace. Why did I just get fired from my job? God, you know all I want is to be married, but I just keep getting stood up constantly. And we take all these worldly things and these things that happen and we blame God instead of seeing God through what's happening. Because God, like I said, works outside of our timeline, outside of our understanding. So there's going to be things that God does that to us doesn't make sense. When you're praying for financial peace and for blessings, and then all of a sudden you lose your job or you get laid off or, you know, you can't afford the bills that month and you're freaking out. You're like, God, what are you doing? But what you don't see is that God's opening an opportunity because a month later, you're going to be a business owner. A month later, you're going to get a promotion from a new job that you've only been at a week. You have no idea what he's doing, but he has to remove you from the situation you are in to get you someplace better. And then sometimes he has to keep you in the situation you are in to grow you. You might be growing in wisdom. You might be growing in peace. You might be growing in communication. You have no idea what it is he's doing. The Bible says that we only see in part and hear in part, but we don't get the whole picture. And as humans, I know for me, again, with the control, it's annoying. I want the whole picture. I want to know what my whole life is going to look like, what the road's going to look like for me, who am I going to marry, where am I going to be living, am I going to be able to retire? I want the whole picture. But God doesn't give us that. And I know a lot of people get annoyed with that, but that's the part of faith, is that we don't know everything. But even throughout not knowing everything, can we trust him through that? Can we have faith in him through not knowing everything, through not knowing everything that's going to happen in our life from day to day? Things are going to hurt us. People are going to hurt us. People are going to leave. We're going to get stuck in bad situations. But are we still going to trust God through that? Whew, y'all, the Spirit is hitting me right now. I lost track of where I am in my notes. But basically, let's just go back to focusing on some of the miracles in the Bible of God working outside of our timeline and outside of our understanding. I want to hop over to John 11. John 11 tells a story of Lazarus. And this one is one of God working outside of the timeline. So Martha and Mary, the sisters of Lazarus, they call for Jesus. They know he's a miracle worker. They're friends with him. And they say, "Jesus, our brother Lazarus, he's about to die. Please come heal him. Come do a miracle." And in John 11:14, Jesus says, after he had said this, he went on to tell them, he's talking to his disciples, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him." And then when we hop down to John 11:32, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Did you catch that? Did you catch that? "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Mary is telling Jesus, "Jesus, if you had been here a few days ago, if you had been here in my timeline, if you had been here when I wanted, Lord, my brother wouldn't be dead. If you had been here when I wanted, I would have had the result I wanted when I wanted it." See, Mary had lost sight of patience and lost sight of understanding that Jesus doesn't need to work. God doesn't need to work in our timeline. If we hop back down to John 11:40 through 44, it says, "Then Jesus said, 'Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?' So they took the stone away. Then Jesus looked up and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you would always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me.' When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out.' The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with stripes of linen and a cloth around his face." And the thing about this is Lazarus had been dead at four days at this point. So his sisters, Martha and Mary, at this point, they had given up. They're like, "He's dead, he's gone. But Jesus, if you had just been here sooner, you could have healed him." But guys, he's a miracle worker. He's raising people from the dead 4 days after they've been dead. He's raising them from the dead. That is so mind-blowing. Like, we can't even comprehend that. And so I really just hope you're getting what I'm saying here, is that he's working outside of our timeline. Our timeline means nothing to him. Nothing, okay? We need to get out of that. We need to get out of that mindset that he's working in our timeline, because quite frankly, he's not. I wish he was. I wish he was working in my timeline. I'd be married by now. But he ain't. So I just have to learn to accept it. And I think a lot of times too, with God, it's, I know a lot of us are very logical people. We have to understand things. And so that's why faith can be a little hard, because we can't feel it. We can't understand it. We can't explain it. If you know me very well, you know I'm a little nerdy. And there's a show that I used to watch a lot called Doctor Who. I love Doctor Who. If you've seen it, you know. If you haven't seen it, he's a time traveler, okay? He travels through planets, through space, through time, all the cool nerdy stuff. And as most time travelers do, he has a time machine, and his time machine is called TARDIS. And it is this old, like, telephone police box. It's a British show, so it's a blue telephone box that says police box. But when you walk into the TARDIS, it is crazy big. It's like that spell from Harry Potter that makes things bigger on the inside. And every time in the show, when someone new walks into the TARDIS, their like jaw just drops because they can't comprehend it. It's not logical because how is this small little dimensional telephone box bigger on the inside? It doesn't make sense. It's not dimensional. It's not logical. We don't understand. And that's kind of how I feel like God is like, it's not logical. There's absolutely no logic as to why I can speak in tongues, and yet I can. You know, there's no logic behind my back being healed, and yet it's been healed. I've seen people come to church, share their testimonies from being healed from cancer. I've seen broken bones healed. I've seen eyes healed. We've seen teeth straightened out at our youth group. Guys, crazy things that make no sense. There's no logic behind miracles. That's why they're a miracle, because it doesn't make sense. And the God we serve, he's a God of the impossible. But we keep trying to shove him in this tiny little perfect present for Christmas, and he's not gonna fit in that. He's gonna burst out of that box, because we cannot keep trying to fit him into our comfort zone. We cannot keep trying to fit him into our mindset and our understanding and our logic, because he works outside of that. And if you still don't believe me, y'all, let me share some more stories with you, okay? Let's hop back to the beginning of the Bible over in Genesis, and this is Abraham and Sarah. And if you know this story of Abraham and Sarah, they'd been praying for a baby for a real long time. They stopped trusting God. Abraham went off and slept with Sarah's maidservant. They tried doing things in their own way, in their own timeline, in their own hands. But Genesis 21:1 through 2 says, "The Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. She became pregnant and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time God had said it would." Y'all, if God says something's gonna happen, it's gonna happen. That don't mean it's gonna happen tomorrow. Like, his it's gonna happen might be 20 years down the road, but if he says it's gonna happen, like, we have to trust him. We have to jump on that magic carpet ride, okay? And we have to trust him, and we have to go, and it's gonna be scary, but he's got you. I mean, if there's anyone in this world that I'm going to trust, it's going to be my father. It's going to be my savior. It's going to be the man who died on the cross for me that I'm going to spend my eternity with. I'd rather trust him than any random, no good, evil human, you know? So, and I'm just going to be honest, like, humans were no good. That's why we needed Jesus. And two other verses I want to bring up about him doing the impossible. And y'all, these are good. These are good ones. Acts 8:39. This is when Philip was talking to the Ethiopian man, and he actually baptized this man. So this is right after Philip had baptized the Ethiopian. "When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing." And if you continue reading through that scripture, it says that Philip actually ended up in another town. So, like, literally, like, the Lord just, like, transported him, like, just poofed him out, poofed him from this area somewhere else. Crazy. Doesn't make sense. But God doesn't need to make sense. He's God. Numbers 22:28. Then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. "What have I done to you that deserves you're beating me three times?" it asked Balaam. That's Numbers 22. Y'all, he made a donkey speak. If I heard a donkey speak, any animal actually, any animal, I don't know if I'd scream or if I'd faint, but like, that's crazy. There's so many, and that's just a few of them. I only wrote a few down, but there's so many instances in the Bible where God is working out side of what we understand. And quite frankly, he doesn't care if you don't understand it. He doesn't care if it fits into your logic. He doesn't care if it fits into your ideal little life that you were planning, because his way is better. So before I get too farther on into ranting of that, you know, just trust him in that. You know, maybe that job that you no longer have, That was stealing you away from his presence. Maybe that person that you were dating, that all of a sudden that relationship's ended, that person was holding you back from your purpose. You know, sometimes the answer to our prayers is going to be a no. And are we honestly going to be okay with that? Are we going to be okay with God telling us no for something that we're praying for so eagerly and so much that we want it? What if he says no? And that's a really hard thing, I think, for us to swallow, because we are in an environment and in a culture where we're told that our yes isn't important and that everything we want is good and that we deserve everything we want. But we don't. We don't deserve everything we want. In fact, it's by his grace and his grace alone that we get to be in an eternity with him in heaven, because we don't deserve that. But because of his grace, because he sent Jesus to die for us on the cross, we get to be in heaven with him. We get that for our eternity. And so he knows better. He knows better than what we want or what we're praying for or what we view our life as. If I had gotten to choose exactly how I wanted to live my life, guys, I would not be the person I am today. I would not be where I am today. I'd probably be a lot worse, to be honest. I'd probably be a really mean person, a very selfish person. I don't think I would be involved in a church. I don't think I'd be running after Jesus if I had just been able to control my whole life. Like at 18, if they're just like, okay, you can decide your whole life right now, like write it down how exactly you want it to go. Like if I'd gotten to do that, I would be a completely different person. But I am so grateful that God met me where I was. He met me when I was struggling. He met me when I was depressed and heartbroken. He met me when I thought that there was going to be no tomorrow. He met me in all those places. He met me when I didn't trust him. When I literally told him I was angry at him and I didn't know if I would ever want a relationship with him. He still met me in those places. He still opened his arms up to me. He still told me he loved me and that I was worthy. And he still told me that I had a calling and a purpose. I don't think I'll ever, I know I'll never deserve that love. And yet he is so good and he is so gracious that he gives not only me, but he gives you that love. And so if I can urge you to do anything this week, it's to get into your Bible and spend time in the Word and spend time in the presence. And if you've never experienced the Holy Presence, the Holy Spirit, that is my prayer for you. The Holy Spirit wrecks me. I'm crying right now. A lot of times I cry when the Holy Spirit's over me. I either cry or I start laughing and I look a little wackadoodle. But I don't care, because I'm in the throne room with Jesus, and that's good enough for me. I don't care how undignified I look or how crazy I look or who's going to make fun of me. Because if I have Jesus, I have everything. If I don't have Jesus, I have nothing at all. I can have all the money, all the riches, all the friends, everything in the whole world. But if I didn't have Jesus, I would have nothing. And so I urge you, get into your Word this week. Spend time with him. Open your heart up to him. Ask him to reveal things to you. Ask him to meet you where you are, because he will. He will meet you where you are. And just start slowly every day. Just get a little into the Word, just a little bit. Each day will be a little bit more. Get yourself planted in a community, in a church. Do Bible studies. Ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions if you don't understand. Don't be afraid if you don't understand. There are things that we're never going to understand, and that's okay. We have to get out of that mindset that we have to understand everything, because we're not ever going to understand everything about God. Not here on earth, at least. Maybe in heaven we'll understand a bit more. But even if you never understand, even if things don't work out, even if the answer to your prayer is no, like, do you trust him, friend? Do you trust him? So I challenge you to think about that this week. You know, think about that. Where is your level of trust when it comes to God? And what are you believing for? What are you praying for? Partner with people in prayer for what you're believing for. And accept God's answer, even if that means it's a no. Whew. Y'all, that's good. I need to go spend time with him after this. I feel the spirit here with me right now. Whew, that's good. I'm going to end us in a prayer. And be on your way. Jesus, thank you so much that you put this word and this fire into my heart, Lord God. I thank you that it's touching someone right now, Lord Jesus, wherever they are, whether they're in their car, or their kitchen, or they're listening at work, Lord God. I just thank you that your spirit's with them right now, Jesus. Just overflow them with your Holy Spirit, Lord God. If they've never felt your spirit, God, I just thank you that you're anointing them right now. Just drench them in your spirit, Lord God. Let them fall over in laughter, Lord God. Let them weep with you, Lord Jesus. Open up their heart, Lord God, to love the things you love and see the people the way you see people, Lord God. Open the eyes of our heart, Jesus. Soften our hearts, Lord God, to be compassionate towards others, Jesus. Jesus, give us wisdom and understanding and peace, Lord God. God, wisdom and decisions that people are making towards careers, in buying homes, Lord God, in parenting and relationships, Lord God. Just wisdom in any area that they're struggling with right now, Lord Jesus. And God, I want to pray over peace, Lord God, of peace of over the people who don't understand, Lord God, who can't get out of the logic box, Lord God. I just want to bring peace to them and just love on them, Lord God. Thank you that you see them where they are. Thank you that you want to meet them where they are. And just thank you that I have this opportunity to share your love and share your gospel with the world, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all. So like I said at the beginning, this is my first podcast, so I don't really know how to end. But I want to thank you again for supporting me, following me on this journey, for all the friends that reached out and have been asking me over and over and over for the recording of this podcast. I finally did it. Thank you for supporting me through that and wanting to be here and listen to me. It means so much that people in my life support my calling to ministry and that you see my heart for the Lord. And it just means so much that you guys have opened your lives up to me and let me be a part of your life. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to minister. And I hope that you got something from this. If you know me personally, please shoot me a text. Let me know what you think. And if you do not know me, and you just got sent this, you can contact me at Hannah, HANNAH, at themoxiemotive.com. Once again, Hannah at themoxiemotive.com. Just email me. Let me know what you think. I hope that you got something from this. I love you. More importantly, Jesus loves you. You're called. You're anointed. You're worthy. And I hope that you remember that. Okay. Bye.